Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sheila Zielinski Show for this December 11th, 2017. Well, it's the holidays, and of course, the holidays can especially be challenging for people because of maybe they don't have any loved ones. Maybe they don't have any family. Maybe they feel lonely and isolated. You know, just today, I saw this Edmonton man. He brought a suicide prevention message to the high-level bridge to raise awareness about the importance of suicide prevention this holiday season. And the sign just says, don't give up. On the very bridge where several of his friends over the years have done just that, given up. Now, he hopes to bring as many people as he can to raise awareness, but my friend and I are going to talk about what is really going on with suicide. How can we really deal with suicide? But not just suicide. There's a very chronic depression in that as well. There's spirits of death. And so we're going to talk about this today. And I think this show is something everyone should pay attention to, because this is going to be very helpful in even dealing with family members, friends. This is going to be a very powerful show today. And so I hope you're very blessed by this. And here to join me on this topic, it is my good friend, Carla Butod. And we're calling this topic today, Dealing with Suicide. Carla, welcome to the program, my friend. And I'm just going to hand you the mic and you take it away. Shoot it back to me when you're ready.
Thanks, Sheila. Thank you for having me. It's a privilege. Okay, first of all, I don't know many families that have not been touched by suicide. In my own family, between me and my husband, there have been two. And so this is a spirit that really needs to be dealt with in the world, because when you think about it, suicide is not a respecter of persons. And so you've heard it said about suicide that it is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. We all run into times in our lives where we hit things that, or things hit us that we just seemingly can't deal with. We know that the statistics of suicide often rise during holidays. I think it's a time when certain things are heightened, like if a person is alone, if they don't have family, if they're in another country and they're alone. There's just all kind of things during the holidays that will cause us to become depressed, not having enough money to, you know, give your children the kind of Christmas that you'd like to. First, I want to stop right here and just say this, that Christmas was never meant to be what commerce has created. They've created a monster, actually. So it's not about being able to buy a lot of stuff and have a lot of money, although that's what it's become, even sadly, in the church. Okay, so I want to make this point that in John 10:10, the word says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, kill, and to destroy." Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have more abundantly." So here's the question. If Jesus came to give life and more abundantly, and Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, then we have to see that suicide is a work of the devil. Anything that is against what Christ stands for would be a spirit of Antichrist. So we have to recognize that there is a strong spirit of Antichrist in suicide. Also, the spirit of death and destruction. In 1 John 3:8, it says this of Jesus, that he was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. So as a person in the church, being given all of the power over the enemy, given the ministry to heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead, all these things that Jesus commissioned us to do, we should be able to come against and help those that are being plagued with thoughts of suicide and spirits of suicide. That doesn't mean that the devil won't come to us to tempt us. But in 1 Corinthians 10:13, we are told that with the temptation, he makes a way of escape, right? Okay, not long ago, and not even thinking about suicide, God began to point out some scriptures that I knew the scripture, but I didn't realize the relation to suicide. Did you know that Satan tempted Jesus with suicide? It's very interesting. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 5, and I want you to realize that this happened right after Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry. So it says that the devil came and tempted Jesus. Why? He came at a time when Jesus was in a weakened condition, and he'll do the same thing to us. Satan is an opportunist. He doesn't miss an opportunity that when we are in a weakened condition to come against us with thoughts of self-destruction. So in Matthew chapter 4, verse 5, it says, "Then the devil taketh him," being Jesus, "up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple." A pinnacle is the highest place. And I thought it was interesting that he took him to the temple. And in verse 5, "and saith unto him," and I want you to pay attention to the two things that Satan says to Jesus. First of all, he says, "If thou be the Son of God." Now, I just had to stop right there when I read that, because can you believe that the devil is trying to make Jesus doubt who he is? Although he does that with us all the time. If we don't know who we are in Christ, then we can be in trouble. So he says, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written." And then the second thing is, Satan quotes the word of God, and he's referring to the scripture from Psalm 91. "He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands, the angels, they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Isn't that amazing? First of all, he tries to get Jesus to doubt who he is, and then he thinks he's going to get Jesus to do something by quoting the word of God. It's funny because he's quoting the word of God to the word of God. Jesus is the word, right? Okay. And then in verse 7, Jesus answers with scripture by saying, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." So Satan comes to Jesus in a weakened condition. In the Old Testament, I was wondering, you know, I think I knew of one account where someone fell on his sword. So I started looking at situations where people killed themselves in the Old Testament. The one I was referring to is from 1 Samuel 31 in verse 3, and this is about Saul. It says, "And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell on it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him." Now, Saul, evidently, while he was in this battle, the enemy had pierced him with an arrow, and he was wounded. Okay, so instead of being conquered by the enemy, he would rather die at his own doing. So he tried to get his armor bearer to do it. And of course, can you imagine if the armor bearer had killed the king? His life would have surely been had a death sentence on it for killing the king. So he was too afraid to do that. But then when the king killed himself, he felt, I mean, as I'm thinking about this, what is this armor bearer going to do if the king is dead? He'll be without a job. He won't be in this special position. He was fearful, so he killed himself as well. Now, the fact that he fell on his sword and died at his own hand made me think about Harry Caray. I looked it up, and that is a Japanese warrior ceremonial suicide when they've been disgraced or sentenced to death. So, see, it was a disgrace to King Saul that his enemies would conquer him. Okay, so then in Job, now, this scripture is really personal to me because when I suffered the depression, this is one of the scriptures. When I was healed, I began to write about this depression, and this is the scripture that is what I use for this whole story of the depression. Because in Job 3, in verse 2, it says, "And Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born." That's how I felt. Let the day perish in which I was born. And we'll get into that more. So has Satan ever caused you to wish you had never been born? That's where I was in my depression. When I went to the psychiatrist and he said, are you suicidal? And actually, I had contemplated that, but I couldn't think of a way that wouldn't be painful or unpleasant. So I was kind of a coward, but I told the psychiatrist, no, I'm not suicidal. I just wish I had never been born. It's a regret, and regret is to feel sorry, disappointed, distressed, or remorseful. See, my dream my whole life long was to get married and have babies, and I got married and had babies, and it was a nightmare. And I regretted, you know, wanting to get married. I regretted wanting to have children. I regretted who I married. I mean, I had a lot of regrets. And that's what Satan will do. He will start pointing out things to you and causing you to have regret, okay? Or causing you to have a death wish. Or others give you an idea by saying, I wish you'd never been born. I have had people tell me when I'm ministering to somebody that their mother told them, I wish you had never been born. I can't even imagine the effect that would have on a child. Or, I'm sorry I had you. Or, I wish you were dead. Or, you'd be better off dead. Or, you're worth more dead than alive. See, Satan will put that idea of death, die, never being born, death wishes, regret that you'd been born. He will get those suggestions to you to drive you to commit suicide. That's his ultimate victory if he can cause you to kill yourself. That's his ultimate victory. In the movie, one of my favorite Christmas movies, and, you know, I'd never even seen that movie until after I was healed of depression. And that story that is depicted in that movie, It's a Wonderful Life, was my life. I just couldn't even get over it, but really it is a picture of many people's lives. But in that movie, mean old Mr. Potter told George at one time, laughing, why, you're worth more dead than alive, because he had this insurance policy. And from that point on, he began to want to kill himself. Even Job's wife said to Job, why don't you just curse God and die, right? So the devil will use anybody to try to get you to kill yourself. Another instance is in 2 Samuel 17, and it is with Ahithophel. It says in verse 17, it says, and when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him to his house, to his city, and put his household in order, and hanged himself, and died. Now, I'd never even heard of this guy, but he was the counselor to King David. And when Absalom conspired against his father and was going to overthrow him, this counselor switched sides. He took up with Absalom. And interestingly enough, when David finds out that he is with Absalom, he asks God to cause his counsel to be foolishness. And then when he gives the counsel to Absalom, another man steps up and says, no, I don't think that's a good idea. You better do this. And then Absalom did what the other guy said. So now, Ahithophel, it says, when he saw that his counsel was not followed. See, he had lost his importance. He had lost the confidence that people had in him. And so fear from loss of his position, his prominence, and his importance, fear of his future, and feeling hopeless over this, he hanged himself. Now, in the New Testament, we see another case of suicide in Matthew chapter 27, verse 4. Judas went to the people that he had sold Jesus off to for 30 pieces of silver. He went to them and he said, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? Fix it yourself. And in verse 5, and he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. So Judas, he had regret. He was sorry. He was distressed and remorseful beyond repair. And so he hanged himself. There is another instance. Now, this one is a little bit different, but still shows the process of these things. This is the story of the Gadarene. This is where suicide is caused by demons. There is a spirit of suicide present, and there is a spirit of death present. The story is in Mark chapter 5 and Luke chapter 8. And it says of this man who has legion. Remember, Jesus said, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion, for we are many." It says of this man that he dwelled among the tombs. Well, that's a spirit of death because he lived among the dead. That's where he wanted to be, was in this place of death. It says he was naked. Now, there are people, and I've been hearing accounts of this. One was of a girl who had some disease. I don't remember what it was. It may have been multiple sclerosis. I can't remember what the disease was. But she would have like this spell come over her, or she would kind of go into a little bit of a trance. There was an indication that something was changing. And then she would jump up and take all of her clothes off and run outside and run down the street naked. So this is what this man, they could not keep clothes on this man. Okay, so there may be a spirit among the spirits of Legion that would cause people to strip their clothes off. Another account, I heard it was in a big church. The man jumped up out of the middle during the sermon and stripped his clothes off and was acting crazy, so they called the police. Not realizing, see, this is a demon that needs to be dealt with, they called the police. These are spirits, okay? This guy was homeless that lived in the tombs. It says of him, neither abode in any house. So he was homeless. Okay, he was bound with fetters and chains, but he would break them. How is that? See, demons have supernatural strength. That's why sometimes, like, you'll see someone that's strung out on drugs or something, or even people who are insane in an insane asylum. It takes 5 or 6 people just to hold them down because they have the strength. Demons have supernatural strength. It says no man could tame him. See, there are demons that no man can tame. You're not going to go to a psychologist and have them counsel your demon. That won't work. Day and night, it says, he was in the mountains and tombs crying. So it's telling us that he didn't sleep. If day and night he's roaming around, he didn't sleep. He was depressed, sad. He had grief because he was crying. And it says cutting himself with stones. So it could be that cutters, people who cut themselves, have this spirit. It's a spirit of self-destruction. People who slit their wrists have possibly this same spirit. It says he has had devils for a long time, and it said that the demons cried out at Jesus. You know, I've said before, but I think it's worth repeating, that we're going to be seeing things we've never seen before, and we're going to be hearing about things we've never heard about before. And the fact that we are vessels of the living God on this earth, we are going to run into times when demons will cry out at us, because they're not crying out at us, they're crying out at the Jesus in us. I say that people are going to start putting a demand on the Jesus in us. And so we need to be ready and prepared that when these things happen, we can deal with them. You're not really dealing with the person, you're dealing with a demon. And the only thing you can do with those is to cast them out in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay? Then it says that the demons requested of Jesus to be cast into the pigs. Now, this is where this suicide thing comes into this story. I want to talk about the pigs for a minute. In Mark 5:11, it says, "Now there was near unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding." Now, I want you to get a picture. There were mountains in this setting. There was Jesus at the tombs with the man. There were mountains in the distance. And between them and the mountains, there must have been a big field or valley. And in that field, there was a large herd, it says later, about 2,000 pigs, swine, feeding. Now, I lived in the country, okay? People had pigs. If you've ever seen pigs feeding in a field, they are very peaceful. They're happy. They're just grazing, eating grass. That's what they do. But when that spirit, that legion, that demon called legion, asked to be cast into the pigs, because I'll tell you why, because demons want a body. They don't care if it's a person or an animal. They've got to have a body to exist. So instead of Jesus casting them out, and in one place, they beg not to be cast into the deep, which is the abyss. They didn't want to go to the abyss. So sometimes if I'm doing deliverance on a person, I command those demons to go to the abyss because they really don't want to go there. So Jesus, after they asked to be cast into the swine, in verse 13 it says, "And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine." And here's what I want you to notice. "And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea and were choked." What happened when that demon of legion was cast into those pigs? They were peacefully eating, but as soon as the demons hit them, they all ran violently down a steep place and were choked in the sea. They all committed suicide. I thought that was so interesting. And it was a steep place, and they ran into the sea and were choked. You know, where I was raised, there is a bridge that connects two cities, Port Arthur and Bridge City. It was called the Rainbow Bridge, and at that time, I don't know if it still is, but it was the highest bridge in the South. Many, many, many people over the years have jumped off of that bridge to their death. Violent. That is a violent death. The bridge is over 100 feet tall, and they say that when you jump off of that bridge, when you hit the water, it's like landing on concrete. We had a suicide in our family, and that's the way they died. They jumped off of that bridge, and the coroner, I guess they did an autopsy, but the coroner said that every vital organ in the body had exploded. I mean, when you hit like that, It just breaks everything open. I would call that a violent, very violent death. But I thought that was interesting, that when those pigs were peaceful, and when the demons hit them, they became violent, and they all ran into the sea, and they drowned. And you know what? There's a spirit of insanity, too, in that legion. It's a spirit of insanity as well. Satan's desire is to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan comes in a time of weakness. Now, I forgot to say a while ago about Satan being an opportunist when he came to Jesus. It says later, Luke 4:13, it says that Satan departed for a season. You see, he will come back. He never gives up. Satan has more patience than we do. He is persistent. And so just know that you can get rid of him for a season, but we have power over him, so every time he comes, we can get rid of him. That's what we need to know, especially in times of weakness, when you're in a weakened condition, when you're sick, when you're disappointed, when you're sad, when you're fearful or worried. He's going to take that opportunity to come and build on that. He uses fear. He uses adverse circumstances. He uses hopelessness. He uses loss, in times of loss. So many people committed suicide after the Great Depression or during the Great Depression. When that depression hit and all these people that were rich and wealthy and lived luxurious lives, when they lost everything, many of them committed suicide, jumped to their death from a tall building or shot themselves or hanged themselves, you know. He comes at a time of loss, loss of a job, loss of a future, loss of hope, loss of a position or power, a powerful position, like the man Ahithophel, it's hard to say, in times of remorse, in times of great disappointment, and he uses word spoken curses when people say, you should have never been born, you were a mistake, I wish I never had you, all those things. He uses the power of suggestion. He will use your feelings of worthlessness or guilt or disgrace. He'll come in when you have those death wishes saying, I wish I had never been born. That's the way I felt. I felt like everyone else would have been better off if I were not there. Now, those are the kind of thoughts that he will build on to drive one to commit suicide. He'll use lying spirits. You know, nobody loves you. Those kind of things. He'll use lying spirits. And you know what? Sheila and I did a teaching recently on tormenting spirits. If you're dealing with stuff, go back and listen to that one as well, because it will give you ways of dealing with those things when they come. Suicide can be rooted in generationally inherited curses. There may have been suicide in your family line. It tends to run in family lines. Or if there was a murderer in your family, that same spirit can be present. It is common with those who have had abortions, because there are spirits of death, spirits of murder. Many women who have had abortions will suffer hearing voices, voices to murder, or voices to kill themselves. And it may not be the person who has the abortion. Those spirits also can run in family lines. You may have heard me talk before about how my grandmother attempted an abortion when she was carrying my mother. So those spirits of suicide, the spirits of depression, oppression, sorrow, sadness, grief, all those spirits run in our family. So many have been diagnosed with bipolar. That's a root to bipolar, or these same spirits. These spirits can also be passed down through blood transfusions, and that's why in the book that Sheila and I wrote, there is a way that you can break those curses if you've had blood transfusions, break the curses that came in through those blood transfusions and get rid of those spirits. Organ transplants also can carry the same spirits. You know, sometimes if a person was murdered, if they are an organ donor, they can take organs from someone who has been murdered or someone who has committed suicide. And see, we just see it as a body part. No. Those spirits that were in that person are attached to that organ, and they go right in to the person that receives the organ. But it doesn't have to stay that way. You can break the curses, bind all those spirits, even if you don't know the conditions of the person giving their organs. It could have been, you know, an accident, a violent act that caused their death. Those spirits of violence and fear, and this is very real. I mean, I heard stories of like these big football players or big sports people, and they get an organ from a little old lady who used to like to knit. And after they got the organ, for some reason, they wanted to learn to knit. Now, that sounds absolutely crazy, but it's not. If you understand how these spirits work, you can understand it. Nothing wrong with knitting, but kind of strange when someone just all of a sudden, another lady received a heart. And after she had her heart transplant, she had never smoked, but all of a sudden she craved cigars. Well, it just so happened that the man that gave the heart was a cigar smoker. Now, you know, that's not a coincidence. Or you could move into a house where something violent like that happened, and then those spirits can begin to have an effect on people. So, you know, my daughter and her children moved into a house a couple of years ago, and I told her, I said, you take some olive oil and you anoint the doors and the windows, and you command every unclean spirit that has been dwelling in that house to get out in the name of Jesus. And then you dedicate your home to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we don't have to fear anything, because Jesus has given us power over all the power of the enemy. Now, I want to point out another scripture that came to me when I was preparing this. I seem to remember a scripture in Revelation that said there would be a time that men would want to kill themselves and wouldn't be able to. That is in Revelation 9:6. it says, and in those days, and it's talking about it was one of the seals were broken, and these locusts or something that had the power of a scorpion were released and given permission to sting and torment for 5 months. And then it says, in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. So I thought that was interesting. So, Sheila, those are the scriptures that I wanted to point out as we talk about the spirits of suicide. And then we also have, if you're being plagued with these, we want to do a prayer of deliverance for that. Sheila, have something you wanted to add?
Well, you know, we're talking about suicide and death today and these spirits that plague. But because we are in the holidays, let's also take care of all the gamut of spirits that afflict during the holidays, which aren't just suicide and death. You know, it's all those conflicts, strife, the discord. You all know what happens when you get together with the in-laws. I mean, it just seems like this is a time when it can be a real tough time getting together with certain family members. So as we close out, let's deal with that too, shall we?
Father, in the name of Jesus, I cover every person who's listening to this message. Satan, we bind you, rebuke you, and render you powerless from this time of prayer and deliverance for people that are being plagued by thoughts of suicide. I bind and break the power of the generationally inherited spirits of suicide that runs through the bloodline. I break the power off God's people and all the familiar spirits that lead up to it, the mental illness, the depression, insanity, all those spirits that came down through the bloodline of suicide. I break the power off God's people right now in Jesus' name. I come against all the spirits that operate during the holidays, all the spirits that point out everything that you lack or that you don't have that would bring these spirits to you of sadness and sorrow, of being isolated and alone. I bind those holiday spirits right now in the name of Jesus, and I command you to go in Jesus' name. I break the Antichrist spirit right now, that spirit that is against everything that has to do with God and Jesus and the inheritance that he has given us. I break those Antichrist spirits, bind them, break their power, and command them to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Get out of God's people. I bind that opportunist spirit that comes and takes advantage of us when we're in a weakened condition. I bind that spirit of Satan and that spirit of opportunity. You go in the name of Jesus. I bind spirit of death and destruction. I break your power and I command you to go in the name of Jesus. All those spirits of self-destruction, of cutting, suicidal thoughts, death wishes, you go. All spirits of violence, go in the name of Jesus. I bind that spirit of doubt where Satan has come and caused you to doubt everything that God's ever said to you, doubting who you are, doubting your identity in Jesus, doubting everything that has to do with God. I bind those spirits and break their power and command them to go now in Jesus' name. All those lying spirits, I bind the lying spirit and command you to shut up and go. Those voices telling you, you should have never been born. You were a mistake. Nobody loves you. Everyone would be better off without you. You're nothing but a failure. You'd be better off dead. You just need to kill yourself. You don't deserve to live. All those lies that Satan is bringing to you, I command that lying spirit, shut up and go in Jesus' name. All fear spirits, fear of loss, the loss of a job, the loss of a relationship, the loss of position, the loss of power, all spirits of loss, I break your power off God's people and command you to go. The fear of being alone, I bind you and break your power. Being alone forever, he'll use words like that, forever, or you'll never find a mate, or you'll always be a failure. All of those spirits, I bind you and break your power and command you to go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of depression, sadness, sorrow, remorse, guilt, hopelessness, despair, grief, you go in the name of Jesus right now. All spirits of depression, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. All spirits of disappointment, being disappointed, being a disappointment, disappointed with your life, disappointment in your marriage, disappointment in your mate, disappointment in a mentor, disappointment over your children, in all spirits of self-pity, I bind you and break your power, and I command you to go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of distress, anxiety, and pressure, in this world you shall have tribulation, Jesus said. That means trouble and pressure. But he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So if he's overcome the world, then he's given us what we need to overcome. So I just command those spirits of distress, anxiety, pressure, financial pressures, mental torment, fatigue. I break the power of word curses saying, I just can't go on. I just can't live like this anymore. I bind you and break your power, and I command you to go in Jesus' name. All spirits of restlessness, you go. All spirits of regret, I should have never, you fill in the blank. I wish I hadn't, you fill in the blank. If only this, if only that. All spirits of regret, I bind you and break your power right now and command you to go and take remorse with it. All spirits of remorse, go in the name of Jesus. I bind every spirit of torment, those tormenting spirits. No rest, no peace, no sleep, or too much sleep. Loss of appetite, overeating, all bondages to drugs, alcohol, food, escaping into games, gambling, affairs, pornography, watching TV so you can check out of life. I bind all those tormenting spirits right now in Jesus' name. And I speak to every tormenting spirit that would drive you to commit suicide. I bind you, break your power, and I command you to get out in the name of Jesus Christ. Suicide, death, come out. Come out of their minds right now. Come out. Go in Jesus' name. Come out of their blood. The life is in the blood. Come out of their bones, even the very marrow of their bones. And I command you to come out of every organ. Come out of their blood. I command every squatting spirit that is inhabiting different places in your body, come out. Go in Jesus' name. And now, Father, I loose upon them the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I say, live in Jesus' name. I loose upon you the love of God that he's pouring out right now from his throne. God is love. I pour out upon you a healthy love of self. I loose upon you the peace of God. I loose upon you today hope. As long as Jesus is in your boat, there's hope. And I loose upon you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Lord, I ask you to remove that shroud of death. Pull it off of them right now. Let their eyes, the scales of death, fall off of their eyes. Lord, you are the resurrection and the life. And I speak resurrection right now, even to those who in their hearts and minds see themselves as dead. I just speak resurrection life to them right now in Jesus' name. For you said that you will make all things new. Lord, I thank you that you have the ability to take everything that Satan has brought to God's people for harm, that you will turn it around for their good and your glory, that you might be glorified. We thank you, Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up your people as we enter the holidays and family gatherings, and I thank you that you've given us power over all the power of the enemy. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I bind you, Satan, I rebuke you and render you powerless and your entire kingdom over these holiday gatherings. I bind the workings of all familiar spirits. Spirits of sibling rivalry, jealousy, competition, all argumentative spirits and spirits that sow discord, strife, division, and all spirits that cause conflict. The spirit of the mean man, spirits that would belittle or embarrass. I bind all spirits of rudeness, the critical spirit, harsh words, and negative attitudes. I also bind and forbid to operate all generationally inherited grudges, and offenses and hard feelings. I call on mighty angels to stand at the door and strip each one who enters from all the baggage they're carrying with them from the past. I loose upon each family member a fresh anointing of the love of God and the grace of God. I pray for your manifest presence to be realized by each one, and I bless each one with love and laughter and new and precious memories to take with them when they leave. We love you, Lord. We thank you for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. What a very powerful prayer. Thank you so much, Carla. We covered the gambit on that one. I hope you were very blessed by that, folks. And Carla, just quickly in the waning moments, if someone wants to shoot Carla an email or check out the other resources on her website, Carla, give it out for the new listeners.
Well, that's very simple. It's just Carla Butaud. That's C-A-R-L-A, B as in boy, U-T-A-U-D.com.
Well, there you have it, folks. CarlaButaud.com. It's linked there in the description. Carla, thank you so much for your time in giving this important teaching and prayer. Thank you again so much. God bless.
Thank you, Sheila. And hey, happy holidays.
Thank you, Carla. Happy holidays to you too, my friend. And folks, happy holidays to you too. As they say, Jesus is the reason for the season. I hope everyone has a very blessed holiday. This is my last show for 2017. I am going on a sabbatical for an unknown length of time. I do hope to be back in the new year, and I will keep everyone posted on that. I would love your prayers. And again, happy holidays and a blessed new year. Hope to see you soon. God bless.